Could you turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12? And I'd like to read just the first six verses. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are divisions of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord, and there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Let's ask the Lord to bless our time in his word. Father, we thank you that you are willing to fill our cup with spiritual things. And Father, we thank you for the word of God that, Lord, is such a meal for us. It is a filling thing for us to come and to, Lord, to take in the milk and the meat of your word. And Father, as we open the word today, I pray that you would help us to be able to listen and to perhaps learn. And Lord, if there is a challenge, I pray that your Holy Spirit would lay that challenge on all of our hearts. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I've been conducting a series on 1 Corinthians back in Coffs Harbour, so I thought I would just bring one of the recent messages that I preached in this series to you today. The background to this chapter is that the Corinthians had a wrong view about spiritual gifts. Due to their pagan backgrounds, they thought that tongue speaking was the pinnacle of spirituality, and I could take a whole message to tell you exactly why that was so. But because of their pagan backgrounds, their background in idolatry, they thought to be in a sort of an ecstatic state and speak in tongues, that's what it was to be spiritual. So Paul gave them here at the beginning of his his doctrine of spiritual gifts, but Paul basically gave them a test that they could apply if somebody came along to their church claiming to have a tongue that had been given by God. And really, that's really what verses 1 to 3 are about. That's the test that Paul gave them to apply to people that might come claiming to have a gift from God. I don't really want to talk about that today. That was the message before this. But having done that, having given them this test, Paul went on to share the correct view of spiritual gifts, the correct doctrine of spiritual gifts. And he began by sharing what I've called three areas of difference. Three areas of difference, and they are found in verses 4, 5 and 6. And these three areas of differences are the fundamental truths for everything else that he's going to share in chapter 12, 13 and 14. All that he's going to share about spiritual gifts begins here. These are the foundational doctrines. And that's really what I want to look at today. These three areas of difference. Now, the first area of difference is in verse 4. Paul said, "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit." There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Now, the word diversities here, the Greek word, is the exact same word as differences in verse 5. And so it's really just talking about differences. There are differences of gifts, different gifts. The word gifts, of course, is the Greek word charismata. It means a gift given from the charis, the grace of God. It's a gift that God and his grace gives to us. It's not something that you could buy. It's not something you could earn. Rather, it's something that comes from the grace of God, the good heart of God, the kind heart of God gives these charismata. And in this context, the charismata are the spiritual gifts God gives at our salvation, the spiritual enablings that God gives when we're saved. When God saves a person, he places his Holy Spirit within us. We all know that. And when God's Spirit comes to dwell in us, he gifts each of us with a certain enabling. He gives us a spiritual ability to exercise a specific ministry in the church. And it could be anything from preaching. The gift could be anything from preaching to showing mercy. I've got a lady in my church. She's just got this heart that blows with showing mercy to just about every down and outer that she can come across. She just loves them. She shows mercy to people that others have given up on. That's a spiritual gift. The word charismatic that we often hear comes from our word for gifts. It's exactly the word gifts is basically the same word, charismatic, charismatic. The modern charismatic movement is a movement that highlights spiritual gifts. The charismatic or Pentecostal movement has many different streams, as you know. And some of these streams teach that tongues is the gift that is the evidence of the baptism of the Spirit. The way that you will know that you've received the baptism of the Spirit is to speak in tongues. Now, not all charismatic teachers teach that, but some streams do teach that. And because of this, many charismatics seek this gift, seek the gift of tongues above all others. And because they do that, in doing that, they fall into the same error as the Corinthians. This is the Corinthian error. It seems everyone in Corinth wanted to speak in tongues. Everyone in the Corinthian church wanted to speak in tongues because that, they thought, was the pinnacle of spirituality. So Paul wrote chapters 12, 13 and 14 to correct this wrong view. And this is what led him to make this first point. And that is that there's not just one gift that God gives. There's not just one gift of grace. In fact, he says here in verse 4, there is a diversity of gifts. There are different gifts to fulfill different tasks in the body of Christ. And as we'll see a little bit later on, not everybody gets the same gift. That'd be like having, as a body, just, you know, your body's just one big foot or one big head. It wouldn't be a body. For it to be a body, there have to be different gifts. It is the same Spirit, but he gives different gifts to different people. And so this is the first area of difference. There are many different charismata. But Paul goes on to say there are not just different gifts. Those gifts can be used in different ministries. And this is really the second area of difference in verse 5. He says, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. Now that word administrations is the same word that is translated in chapter 16. Have a look over there. Chapter 16, 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 15. 1 Corinthians 16, 15, let I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That word ministry is exactly the same Greek word as administrations. In 1 Corinthians 12, it's the word diakonia. The word ministry is our word. It just basically means a place of service, a place in the church where we serve. In our church, and I know in your church, and all churches have various diakonia, they have various ministries. And really, this is what's in view. There are differences of gifts, but there are also differences of where those gifts can be used, different ministries where the gifts may be used. Paul told the Corinthians, just as there are different gifts, there are also different ministries where the gift can be used. And so let's take, for example, the gift of teaching. Someone with this gift, it might be a man or a woman, could use it in the Sunday school. They could be a Sunday school teacher. Oh, they might be a teacher in the Christian school. They might write Christian books. Or they might be a lecturer in a Bible college. One gift, it's the same gift, but it can be used in a whole host of different ministry settings. So just as there are different charismata, so there are also different diakonia, where those gifts can be used. Those are two areas of difference, but there's a third one in verse 6. And there are differences of operations. But it's the same God which worketh in all. Paul said there are differences of gifts, there are differences of ministries, but there are also differences of operations. Now, my dictionary tells me that the English word operations means the power to influence, affect, or control. It's talking about the power to influence. And in this context, this relates, I believe, to the effectiveness of the charismata, the effectiveness of the gifts. The Greek word translated operations is the word energema. We get our word energy from it. So you get the idea that God gives different type, if you like, abilities or types of effectiveness or influence or power for certain gifts. I believe this is a reference to the extent of the gift given and hence its ability to influence. For example, some people have the gift to preach. Say that's a spiritual gift. And they're good preachers and God uses them. But there are others who seem to have a greater gift and their effectiveness is greater. This is the difference between David Mitchell and Charles Haddon Spurgeon. We both have the spiritual gift to preach, but one preaches to my church and the other preaches to the whole world. A different operations, a different amount of the gift that God has given. Now, I think this is what Paul was referring to in Romans chapter 12, if you'd like to go over there. Romans chapter 12. Paul talks about the measure of faith. In Romans chapter 12, verse 3, "For I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, that not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according to, as God hath dealt to every man, the measure," the metron from which we get our word meter, "the measure of faith. For as you have many members in one body, and all members are not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Having then gifts, charismata, differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy, according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhorting. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness." Paul tells us some of the gifts that God gives. And he tells us that we are not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, but to think soberly, to the same degree that God has dealt to us each the measure of faith. Now, there's no doubt that he's talking about spiritual gifts. He mentions the word gifts, and then he gives us some of the gifts that God gives, spiritual enablings for us to use in the body. And he tells us that we each have received a spiritual gift with a certain measure of that gift. It's called a measure of faith because all God's gifts of grace are to be appropriated by faith. As we trust God and we walk by faith, God uses these gifts according to the measure that he has given them. To me, this is the diversity of operations. There's no doubt that Charles Haddon's spiritual gift had a far greater influence than my gift. And that's not just being modest. That's not giving me an excuse not to do better. But rather, this is thinking soberly, according as God hath dealt to me and to Charles Haddon Spurgeon, their measure of faith. The measure, the operation of the charismata that God gave to them. And so this means I don't have to try to be like Mr. Spurgeon. I don't have to try to do what he did. All I have to do is think soberly and according to the measure of faith that God has given to me and be faithful in my ministry. So just as there are God-given diversities of gifts and differences of administrations, so too there are diversities of operations. This is the doctrine that Paul gave as the foundation to his teaching on the spiritual gifts. These are the three areas of difference. But I wanted you to notice back there in 1 Corinthians 12 that Paul points out that there is unity within the differences. want you to see here that the word same appears in every verse. Verse 4, the same Spirit. In verse 5, the same Lord. In verse 6, the same God. The same Spirit, the same Lord, the same God. Now, I believe that this is a clever example of unity through difference. Everybody's exercising their different gift in their different ministries, but they are still one body. And here is a great example. Paul gives us the example of God himself. Here is the Godhead, the Spirit, the Lord, Jesus Christ, and God the Father. They are three persons but one God, and they work as one in the gifting, in the administrations, and in the operations. And I want you to notice that each member of the Godhead has a different role to play. They have different tasks, but they are to work as one to achieve one purpose. Verse 4 tells us there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. This tells us that the gifts, the charismata, are allocated by the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. And that's how I believe we should read this verse. In fact, if we were to go to verse 7, Paul makes it very clear, you Corinthians don't get to choose which gift you get. The person who chooses which gift you get is the Spirit of God. See how often he states it in verses 7 to 11. He says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gift of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of gifts, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will, as he chooses. The Holy Spirit decides who will receive what gift. We don't get to choose. But he gets to divide to each of us severally as he wills. And what the Corinthians needed to know was that he only gave the gifts of tongues to some and not to all. And so you actually could be spiritual and not have the gift of tongues. You could have the Holy Spirit in your life, be the baptism of the Spirit and even the filling of the Spirit without speaking in tongues, because the Holy Spirit only gives the gift of tongues to some. In fact, I could show you from 1 Corinthians chapter 13 how we can know that the Holy Spirit doesn't give the gift of tongues anymore at all to anyone. I could show you from the Word of God that gift of tongues was just for a short time, basically during the ministry of the apostles. This was a sign gift in the apostolic age. The tongues, this gift of tongues, isn't really for today. Neither God nor the church needs the gift of tongues anymore. We have the Word of God to replace those revelational gifts. But even back then, when God was giving the gift of tongues in the apostolic era, that gift of tongues was only given to some. And it's on all the lists where it's mentioned, it's always at the bottom of the list. So if you don't have the gift of tongues, it doesn't mean that you're not spiritual. God has given you another gift to use in the church. And so we very clearly see here that it's the God, the Spirit's part when it comes to choosing the charismata, who gets what gift. Verse 5 tells us that the administration of the gifts is the responsibility of God the Son. Have a look, verse 5. And these are the differences of administrations, but the same Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. This verse tells us that the responsibility to put us in a various ministry belongs to God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that makes sense because we are his body. The church is called the body of Christ. And so he gets to choose who serves where. Have a look in verse 12. He says, for as the body is one and hath many members, body parts, and all the members of that one body, being many are one body, so also is Christ. Verse 18, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. Verse 27, Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. When we were saved, we became members of the body of Christ general. But when we come to worship in a local church, we become a body of Christ. We have a body of Christ at Coffs Harbour Bible Church, and we have a body of Christ here. And he is the same Lord for us all. But when we were saved, and he placed us in a local church perhaps, or in a body of Christ, he made us each different members. We're in the same body, but we're different members. And so keeping the body illustration, some of us become eyes, some of us become hands, some of us become feet, whatever it is. He places us into various ministries in a body of Christ. And so, for example, the Spirit may give you the gift of serving. That's one of the gifts that is shared in the New Testament. And so the Lord might, having given you that gift, he might place you as a deacon of the church. Or he may have you serving on the door. Or he might have you serving in the church office. If you have a gift of serving, it's the Lord Jesus himself who decides which ministry he wants us to perform in his church. The Spirit gives the gifts, but the Lord appoints us to our ministries. And thirdly, God the Father is in charge of the operations. That's what verse 6 says. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God. When you see the Spirit and the Lord and God, you can see the Godhead. This must be God the Father. There are diversities of operation, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. This verse tells us that the operations, the amount or effectiveness of a gift, is up to God the Father. And when you think about it, we ultimately work for his glory. And because of that, he is the one who gives the increase. Have a look in 1 Corinthians 3. Let's go back there to verses 6 and 7. 1 Corinthians 3, 6 and 7. Verse 6 says, I have planted. Paul says, I have planted. Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. The Spirit had given Paul and Apollos different gifts. Paul was given the gift of apostleship. Apollos was given the gift of evangelism. He was an evangelist. And the Lord had appointed them to a different ministry in the Corinthian church. As an apostle, Paul planted. As an evangelist, Apollos watered. But I want you to notice who gave the increase, who took care of the operations, who took care of the effectiveness of Paul and Apollos in their ministries. He said, God, it is God that gives the increase. And the reason for that is God gives the increase. He's the one that causes that their gift, their ministry to have effect. The reason that God does that is so that he might get all the glory. And that's why Paul goes on to say, then who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? We're just servants of God. He is the one who is doing the work through us. They were just servants working in God's garden. So here is the Godhead, working as one in the area of spiritual gifts. And this is the example the Corinthians were to take to heart, of each person exercising his or her gifts in the ministry that God gave them and leaving God to give the increase. And I think the message couldn't be any clearer. God wanted the Corinthians to work as one, exercising their different gifts in the ministries the Lord Jesus appointed them to, not trying to all want to be speaking in tongues or to be in that sort of ministry that they thought made them very spiritual, but rather to find out what their spiritual gift was, find out what the ministry was that God, where God wanted to use that gift, and trust him to bring the increase. This was the message Paul wanted the Corinthians to get. Just as the Godhead works as one, fulfilling the different roles, God wanted the same unity of purpose in the Corinthian church, and it was to come about through the differences. Unity through their differences. Different gifts, different ministries, different operations. And I believe with all my heart that what God wanted for the Corinthians then, that's what he wants for us now. This is how I pastor and manage my own local church. It is a body of Christ, and each one of us are members in particular And we've each got to find our spiritual gifts, and we've got to be then using our gifts in the ministries of our local church. This is how God wants his church to grow. If we're saved, God the Spirit has given to each of us a spiritual gift. If you've trusted Christ as your own Saviour, the Holy Spirit has come to dwell within you and placed you into Christ, and he has given you a gift, a spiritual gift. And he wants you to use that gift in a body of Christ. He wants you to exercise it in some ministry in the church. I know when I was a young person, a young teenager, this was sort of my greatest quest in life, to find out what my gift might be. My father was a preacher and I didn't want to be one of those. Yeah, my father's a pastor. I definitely didn't want to be a pastor. I looked elsewhere, but he led me to this. It's entirely up to the Holy Spirit, whatever our gifts are. He chooses who gets what gift, and it's the Lord Jesus who places us. He placed me at Coffs Harbour Bible Church. It's just so that I might be a pastor, teacher, and exercise in my ministries. And I praise God, I've got in my church people from 15 years old to 80 years old plus. And every generation in between, people who are ministering in our local church. And I couldn't do without any of them, every single one of them, exercising their ministry in our local church. That's how the Coffs Harbour Bible Church grows. And so each of us should pray about, what is my gift? And if we're not sure, get involved in a ministry where there's a need, and God will show you what your gift will be. It might take years to know what your gift is. But if we surrender to serve the Lord, he will eventually make it clear. I don't think God wants churches full of people who are just sitting around being ministered to. I think God has placed us each here so that we might exercise a gift he's already given us, so that we might use it for the body, his body, which will bring glory to him. This is how God wants us to spend our time here on earth. This is the model that God has given us for a church to grow. So let me ask you, what are you? Are you a hand to help? Are you a mouth to speak? Are you an ear to listen? Are you a member of your local church, serving in a ministry, using the gifts that God has given you to speak? You know, some people come to their ministry later in life. My wife's parents went to other churches where they didn't preach the gospel, and finally they came, when they retired, they came to live in Coffs Harbour. I remember my father-in-law ringing up my wife and saying, we're coming up to Coffs. And she said, oh, that's fine. We're in, yeah, 8 weeks, we're coming. And she said, how long are you staying? They said, for good. Didn't ask us. So up they came, and really they hadn't been probably, they really didn't read their Bibles properly. They were Christians, they were saved, we were sure, but that's about all. Well, nearly 20 years ago. They were retired, and my father-in-law came to the door one time after church, and he shook my hand. He said, you know, you've got to be young in this church to get anything. There was no ministry to the older people. So I put it to him, well, what do you want to do? It's not up to me. So my father-in-law and my mother-in-law and a few of the other retired people formed what they call the VIPs, the seniors group. And that VIPs has been running for nearly 20 years. And my father-in-law, who never preached, who never led a service, who's really not very good on his Bible, he's been the leader of that group for 20 years and been a blessing to all the senior people who've come in and gone to glory in our local church. You're never too old to start serving the Lord. You might be a bit young. I don't like to serve when you're too young. It doesn't matter. You can take all the time you like to find out what your gift is. But whatever you do, find where there is a need and serve the Lord. Get in the yoke. God has already given you the gift. God is already expecting you to be that ear or hand or whatever it is. But he can't bring the increase in your life or in the life of a local church unless you serve him. Three areas of difference. They're foundational You know, when we come to the, when we talk about spiritual gifts, we always all the negative about what all the other people are doing wrong. But really, this is a tremendous area of what we all ought to be doing right. And how God wants you and your church, and me and my church, to grow that we might bring glory to Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much that You've shown us in Your Word very clearly, Lord, what You want for us as individuals. You want for us as individual bodies of Christ, churches of Christ. I pray that, Father, we might know where our gifts might lie, or at least we might, Lord, have the desire to serve You in Your church, to exercise the ministry, to be a member, Lord, a body part of the body of Christ, so that we might, Lord, allow You to bring glory to Yourself, to bring an increase in our lives and in the lives of others. Thank You, Lord, that we have this clear teaching in Your Scriptures. And we pray Your Holy Spirit would lay, Lord, that word upon someone's heart that I hear that might need it. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.